Welcome to BizBytes, a podcast focused on technology and business. I'm your host, Anthony McMahon. In each episode, I interview New Zealand business owners and technology leaders discussing their views on the impact technology's had on business, what it might mean for the future, and their thoughts on how to adapt to the changes ahead. What does KFC, running out of chicken, have in common with how companies respond to a pandemic? Both rely on a business continuity plan to recover. Whether it's a pandemic, a natural disaster, or simply something that could impact your reputation, a business continuity plan, or BCP, will show you what steps need to be taken, who you need to engage, the messages you need to send, and how you will recover your business. Because in the digital age, the world is watching, and how you respond will impact your reputation. Today, I talk with Laura Topless about BCP. We explore what elements should be considered, why a business impact analysis is crucial, the need to keep your BCP up to date, and we discuss recent examples of where companies have handled a crisis well and where they haven't. Laura was the business continuity coordinator for the New Zealand Ambulance Service and has developed a product from her experiences called BCP Builder, an online business continuity plan template. BCP Builder helps small and medium-sized businesses quickly design and build their own unique ISO 22301 compliant business continuity plan to be better prepared when disruption strikes, to respond rapidly and recover confidently. Welcome to the show, Laura. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
It's been an interesting few months for people in your situation, you know, selling a business continuity product. There's probably a real life case study in action here that you'd not always expect to get, where suddenly everyone is in planning mode or reaction mode more than planning mode because of the events around it. So how have you found that your customers have handled the lockdown events that we've seen in New Zealand?
In terms of my customers specifically, the majority of them are in the US, but they have feedback that they have found having a business continuity plan useful, and it's helped them with their recovery. But in terms of clients in New Zealand, I think there's a really, as we all know, a bit of a DIY attitude. And I always say to people, new clients, you know, you're going to do something. No one's going to sit around and just let their business die because something's happened, you know, throw their hands up in the air and say, oh, well, that's the end of that. Everyone tries to do something. And yep. That's what we've seen in New Zealand. Businesses have carried on, seen a lot of ingenuity and just getting on with it and pivoting their products and transitioning. Like, I've been really impressed with the domestic tourism offerings that we've seen of late.
Yeah, I think you're right there. It's felt that some of the products that we might not have otherwise been picking up as Kiwis have actually started to be tailored towards Kiwis because the business needs to survive. We still need to consume and purchase, and we're starting to see this great local ecosystem come together in there. So from what you have seen and what your experiences are, what would you say some of the challenges businesses have faced so far, and also what challenges might be coming up that they could be thinking about a bit broader?
Absolutely. So I think moving to remote working was definitely a challenge, especially when employees may not have been equipped for this. If they hadn't worked from home before, they wouldn't have had a desk or perhaps a laptop or anything ready to go. There's also the access to information. You know, if they hadn't thought about that in advance, not set up on something like Office 365, it can be quite difficult to access that information remotely. Using something like Citrix, when you've got a lot of people trying to get in there at the same time, can be quite glitchy. The other things that people have faced, obviously, loss of business due to COVID alert level restrictions. So that could be a big or a small problem, depending on, you know, if you're in the food and the health industry, if you're a supermarket, you were doing really well. But yeah, a lot of other people have definitely struggled.
Yeah.
In terms of what's coming up, I'd say transitioning back to the office, trying to trust staff to carry on with those flexible working arrangements where it has worked well, and, you know, not necessarily just falling back into the same old routines, taking kind of the best of what we've learned and running with that.
Yeah, definitely. And there's an interesting challenge that we're starting to see talked about a little bit there as well, is that as some businesses start to consider what remote working looks like for them permanently, that has knock-on impacts to other companies that may not have otherwise thought that they were going to be impacted, you know, or have been waiting for a return to normal. And from that, I'm thinking of those CBD-based coffee shops, the cafes, the retail chains that really relied on retail traffic between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, which if organizations, government departments, whatever, don't return, those companies are going to have to think of how they have to adapt as well, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah, I've been seeing that on the news as well. So it's just like essentially their client base has shifted. They had a steady stream of customers working right next door, and now suddenly they don't. I think it will come back. I don't think we'll see dead city centres, but it's just, we've only just gone to alert level one and people are still transitioning.
And there's still hesitancy as well around return to normal for whatever normal is, as we've talked about this before. But what that highlights is that business continuity is not just for the big players, is it? Every business owner should be having a continuity plan of some sort in their back pocket for times like this.
Absolutely. It's about how to continue any business. And it doesn't have to be hugely complicated or involve a giant software package. It's just about thinking about, well, what would I do if my business was disrupted? And for every business in New Zealand that's no longer a what if, it's occurred, it's occurring right now. So really, it's about what did you do? Because your business has just been disrupted. So did it go well? If it did, then you should record those learnings because guess what? It's going to happen again. Something is going to happen to disrupt your business. Hopefully not another global pandemic, but something's bound to happen. If you could learn something from this experience, why not record it and carry that learning forward?
Correct. And also looking across New Zealand and understanding what impacts other businesses have had, not just from the pandemic, but in the last decade, we've gone from a relatively comfortable country, relatively stable, not too many problems, to we've had two big earthquakes in Christchurch, then we've had the earthquakes in Kaikoura, which disrupted Wellington, then we've had volcanic eruptions, we've had a global pandemic, and now Auckland's facing a water shortage. So there's opportunities there for every business to be looking outside their sphere and saying, how did others handle the disruption when it happened?
Exactly. And those big bang kind of disruptions, they're awful and they're probably the ones that are going to impact you the most. But then there's also the day-to-day disruptions, the power cut or a water leak in your office or just human error. Somebody makes a mistake and it crashes your system. Somebody clicks on the wrong email. I've been reading a lot about a company recently that's just had ongoing hacking problems that have never been fully resolved. So it's and that's happened to them during the middle of a pandemic. So that's kind of the worst case scenario, isn't it? You've got the everyday hacking alongside the huge global pandemic. So yeah, things just because you're disrupted by one thing doesn't mean something else can't happen at the same time. So that's why, you should have an all hazards approach, really, so you're not just focused on pandemic.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's ticking off everything because we have shown, and that was a great example there. We have shown that companies can be impacted by multiple events, and they can be impacted by multiple events at the same time as well. Loss of huge income. You know, the companies that were impacted by the White Island eruption were probably trying to think about how they could focus on business continuity and domestic tourism when suddenly a pandemic hit and it disrupted them again.
Exactly. Yeah, they would have been trying to rebuild their businesses, rebuild confidence, and then now they've lost all their international tourists, which would have obviously been a huge part of their business.
And this is something, going back to a previous role that I've had, where I was an incident manager in the technology department. So managing major incidents and major outages from technology perspectives, we'd often have this conversation with the business about their with the business units around us, whether it be the contact center or the retail frontline, about their business continuity plans couldn't necessarily be reliant on technology to resolve for them, could they? Because different departments are going to have to act in different ways to keep their business operations running.
That's right, absolutely. And it's not just down to IT. There's business continuity is more than just having access to your information.
Within there's a term that technology tend to use quite well, disaster recovery, which in my experience gets transposed with business continuity quite a lot. So people talk about one when they may be meaning the other. What's the difference between business continuity and disaster recovery?
So disaster recovery, it's about being able to access your information and your IT systems, about having backups, cloud servers, things that are going to, get your IT back up and running. And disaster recovery is just one element of business continuity. So the other elements of business continuity are that you need to think about the products, services, and activities your organization provides, put them in order of priority, and identify options to continue working during an unexpected disruption. And we already talked about all hazards. So it's not just about what happens during a pandemic when I can't come into my office. It's, thinking about loss of people, loss of infrastructure, loss of workplace, loss of supply chain, and loss of reputation.
And how you're going to respond to those and deal with those as well. And that was something that we often found in the time at BNZ when I was working there, was different departments would feel they would build their own continuity plan, but they would feel that they had a higher priority than others because, to them, their business operations is critical. And if they're not doing it, they're not operating. But it's not necessarily going to be critical to the broader organization, is it? I'm going to pick on marketing as an example here, and I'm not picking on marketing for any other reason, but during a disaster, while marketing is still important, it's not the most important thing a business should be worrying about. So marketing tend to get pushed down a little bit when things aren't operating correctly. Is that something that you work with people to help them understand that business processes aren't all created equal?
That's right. So that's part of what we call a business impact analysis. And so, using the marketing example, if they were also responsible for crisis communications, they might be the most important department because, you've got to get the word out there. Hey, this is what we're doing about it. We empathize with you. We know that we've caused you some problems. And, people need to understand that the business understands the impact that this is having on their customers. So that crisis communications is really important. But absolutely, you should be having a business impact analysis which ranks your products and services in order of priority.
And that's a really valuable tool. I think we've talked about previously as well, that the need to sit down and look at it at an agnostic process layer, but what's important to the business? What do we have to be doing day in, day out versus what can we drop? And if you think of marketing, definitely crisis communications, but they may agree that product offerings or product discounting is not a critical piece during a pandemic.
Absolutely. And also, some of the ads that may have been perfectly acceptable prior to the pandemic, looking at them through a pandemic lens may be in bad taste. So it's about, reviewing what's currently out there, what's on social media and mainstream media, and, pulling some ads that might no longer be appropriate and maybe making some new ones. I've seen some great ads at the moment that, try and say, oh, we're all in this together, and it's quite a nice message, a lot of them anyway, but some of them it's they really hit the mark.
Funnily enough, I was watching this last night on Netflix. There's a show called Glow, set back in the 80s. And the episode I was watching, two of the characters were watching the Challenger shuttle taking off. One character was in costume as a Soviet wrestler, and she was being quite degrading about the American shuttle program as the shuttle exploded. And to me, that felt like a really good example of when things can go really wrong without you even expecting them to go wrong. Businesses need to be conscious of is the messages they send, just as you said, can actually miss the mark.
That's right. So it's about the perception of the message rather than the intent behind it, because the intent could be completely lost. And if people are receiving it in a completely different way, it's also with the Black Lives Matter movement at the moment. So, people need to look at their messaging and make sure that, there's nothing in there that can be misconstrued, and better to be safe than sorry, and pull any messages that might be missing the mark in this context.
And that's it. The I know BBC and HBO have received a bit of flack for pulling some of the shows that would otherwise be harmless or in other contexts would not seem so bad. You know, Gone with the Wind is a classic. HBO have pulled it because of its portrayal of slavery throughout. The current mood suggests that that's not a silly thing to be doing, and is socially responsible for them as well. So does a business response during a crisis, and we're getting into a little bit of crisis management here, but should a business response during that crisis be aware of the social responsibility they have as well?
Absolutely. They have to be aware of the context of what's going on around them, and they have to appear to be in tune with what's happening around them. You know, if you don't want to appear to be completely disconnected from reality, and you know, then you're just going to lose that connection with your customers.
Correct. And that highlights that business continuity is not just a one and done. You don't just stand up and write, we're running in business continuity, everyone's working from home, we're all good. It's an ongoing piece of work that runs throughout and then beyond as well, doesn't it?
Definitely. So I think that's one of the biggest mistakes people could make when they're approaching business continuity is preparing a business continuity plan and then forgetting about it.
Yeah.
Thinking it's one and done. You know, you hear a lot of people say, oh, we've got, you know, a phone book thick, dusty plan that sits on a shelf. Well, that's of no use. It was probably of no use a month after it was written because things change so quickly.
Yeah.
So a BCP should be a living document that's updated every time your business faces a small disruption. And that's the best way to build up a comprehensive plan that will be genuinely helpful in an emergency.
Correct. And it should be communicated as well, shouldn't it? Staff, employees, people within a business should know what their roles are. They don't necessarily have to know everything that the business is going to be doing, but they should kind of know that if someone rings up and says, you can't come into the office today because it's unavailable for whatever reason, they know what their next steps are, don't they?
That's right, yes. And it's important to think through all those steps. So I know I spoke to an Auckland council department recently, and they had that situation where there was a power cut in the central city. They wanted to tell their staff not to come in. But how do you do that when you don't have something already set up?
Yeah.
And you might have hundreds of staff. So then you've just got to put someone on the door and turn people away as they arrive.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good to think about these things in advance, have an emergency notification system set up, because it's all well and good to say, oh yes, we're going to communicate with our staff, but how do you actually do that if you've got pretty much more than 10 staff? By the time one person leaves, you know, it gets messy really quickly trying to keep those spreadsheets up to date.
Absolutely. And look, we've shown in the last quarter, at least within New Zealand, just the possibilities that are there with technology. Now, I'm not meaning every business should be exploring how to do this, but the flash message we got on our cell phones in New Zealand on, I think it was the 24th of March, everyone who had the right cell phone, so let's say 80%, 90% of the population received the exact same message within the same time frame between 6 and 7 and knew what was going on. So technology has enabled the ability to communicate en masse quickly, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And there's some great software available at the moment. I know that F24 has a new Asia Pacific manager, Martin Petz, and you know, he's introducing it to New Zealand, so that's great. It's a really big product over in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, and other companies as well. OnSolve is the other big player in New Zealand, although they've just moved their APAC manager to Singapore. So not so good.
Still in the APAC region, but yeah.
Still in the region, yeah. But there's lots of different options as well. And I know in the company I talked about earlier that had the hack used WhatsApp. Lots of companies use WhatsApp. WhatsApp's not as secure, and it's also harder to keep up to date. And yeah, there's definitely some problems with WhatsApp. But for somebody that might have less than 10 employees, you know, that's perfectly fine.
Correct. And even we've talked about Office 365. It offers the potential for communication through Teams if you're using that. But what then comes out of that is the roles and responsibilities that need to be understood as part of a good plan. You know, it's all well and good to know that a message is going to be sent when the office is unavailable, but if you haven't defined who's going to send that message, it can get lost in translation, or it can just get dropped completely because everyone's assuming someone else will do it, right?
Absolutely. So you should consider who would be the best people in your organisation to respond to a crisis and record their details as the response team and give them the appropriate training and plans to succeed.
Yeah.
So a really important thing with emergency messaging is that it needs to be clear, concise and accurate. And if you're going to test your system, please put test at the start of the message. Don't be like Hawaii and send out a, what was it, a nuclear bomb alert or something, and they didn't say that it was a test.
Yeah.
So everybody thought they were about to get a nuclear strike. Yeah. So that's really important, especially because when you do those exercises, quite often you do think of, you know, out there scenarios, which would seem quite dramatic if you didn't know it was a test.
Yeah, yeah, it feels like something straight out of Hollywood, but the Hawaii situation that you mentioned is a great example of where a small mistake compounded to be quite a big problem for an environment.
Mm.
And fortunately, not as big as it would have been had it been a real situation, but still, it was avoidable. And that's part of it as well, is that it's that consistency, you know, clear, concise, accurate, consistency throughout as well. You're not always going to be in a situation through a crisis where you can sign off on every communication that's going out, because the CEO or the managing director or the business owner may be otherwise preoccupied dealing with a bunch of other things. So you don't want to have that process that bogs down and is reliant on too many people, do you? You want to have some good decision making and those roles and responsibilities clearly defined with accountability.
Absolutely. And what's important as well is the exercising. So if people have practiced this, they know what's expected of them. But on top of that, you should have scripts. So you should have your message, it's already written. And all you're doing is plugging in the details of what the incident is that's actually happened. So nothing worse than freestyling in an emergency. And you know, then you've got spelling errors and, you know, just people's personal perspectives and maybe opinions creeping in there, and you know, that's not what you want. You just need it to be really clear. What do you want people to know and what do they have to do about it? And then with some of these emergency notification systems, this would have been pretty good in the earthquakes. Are you safe? So you can identify who's safe, and you know, if people don't reply, then you start that follow-up process so you can identify which of your staff might need assistance.
Correct. And are you safe? But also that context around location. I remember some years ago now when I was managing a team in Auckland, and we had one of the tornadoes that ripped through a suburb on the North Shore. I got a call from two of my managers over the course of the day to make sure that everyone was all right. Now, fortunately, everyone was all right because no one was in those areas. But again, it's that location specific, as you should be able to pull that up, that have that information and go, right, we know where this has hit. Actually, we don't have any staff there today, so we should be fine. But you need to then bring that into some of the other systems, so travel systems, booking systems, of while we don't have any staff that live or work there, maybe we had someone who had a meeting there or who was traveling into the region for that specific day. And that becomes key, isn't it? It's that overall picture of what the organization looks like.
Mm, absolutely. There's also, you know, in those communication tools, you can ring fence particular areas. So your message will only go to somebody who's in that geographical area.
Yeah. In the earthquake examples, you don't want to waste time dealing with the Auckland employees who have no impact at all, because you didn't bother to cut it down to say, I only want to send it out to the Christchurch staff.
Absolutely. And then in terms of that's part of the accuracy of the communication as well, and being concise. You know, you need to send messages that are relevant to local people, and they should come from local authorities. So if you have regional managers, that message should be coming from the Christchurch manager. There's no point sending a message, like you said, you know, is everybody safe after the earthquake, to everyone in the country, when obviously it's only one region that's been affected.
Yeah. But then the follow-on comes to that is there may be a need to send out to everyone an update on the situation and what's going on and what that means for the business. So while not everyone's impacted, everyone will have had an impact of sorts. So it's about keeping clear and keeping everyone on board. You know, communication is key within this.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's about the messages being relevant. So the national message is definitely necessary, but it's not going to be the same as the, are you safe and are you trapped under a building?
Yeah. We've talked about three key points there: clear, concise, accurate. What are three of the things that would like to see companies take away from the current pandemic in terms of how they approach any crisis situation moving forward?
I think one of the main things that people should have picked up from this is that remote working is possible. So there are a lot of people that felt, oh no, that would never work here. And actually it's been fine. It's a good thing and it's great for business continuity because it means that if you can't access your office for any reason, you've got an alternative there. I would always suggest that people work from home regularly, and that might be one day a week, it might be one day a month, but it's about ensuring that they can access those systems easily. Also, do a debrief of how your business coped without your premises. Take the best elements and record them in a business continuity plan so you don't lose those learnings. And while you're doing the debrief, learn from your mistakes. Think about what didn't go well and what you could change to cope better the next time you can't access your premises or your business is disrupted for any reason.
And in terms of the lessons that other businesses will have taken on, they could be just as valuable, can't they? So people should be talking to other business owners of how they responded.
Definitely. Business continuity doesn't happen in isolation. So if you're working in a tower block in the central city, there might be multiple businesses, or there most likely will be multiple businesses in there. You should have them as part of your communications plan and include them as part of your debrief to find out how they coped. And then also, if there was an incident that was just your building or just your block, it would be really important that you work together and are able to communicate together.
Yeah. Try and, again, consistency is key. Clarity is key as well. And if everyone in the same block's been impacted, then most companies are going to have the same message with a different response to it.
Absolutely. And you might have the chance to band together and form partnerships, you know, get through it together.
And also, you might have, someone might have the skills that you need to leverage what you need to do as well. It might be for a small business that has not yet transitioned to the cloud and is therefore not able to work from home as successfully. They might be co-located nearby a technology firm who's got a little bit of capacity to help them get up and running as quickly as possible. So keep that community feel going as well and build that relationship.
Absolutely. And we saw people, I'm pretty sure it was during the lockdown, offering co-working spaces. So, you know, for free. So that's a local business, you know, the co-working space is a business as well. And they're, for them, that's exposure. And they might be used as the business continuity plan in a future incident.
Correct. And it might even build up a better relationship where you distribute services when you're back at BAU, when you're back at business as usual, being a loose term there, you might actually think about, do I need a singular office space or can I distribute some of my workforce around a range of different areas within the same city to protect us?
That's right. And you have people like myself, I love working from home. I think it's great. I've got a little office here, but there's some people that might be sitting at their kitchen table or at the couch. They don't have enough room and they think, I hate working from home. And maybe you put them in a co-working space and you don't need the whole office because you've got a split of people who like it working from home and the people who don't.
Great. And that's where business continuity and business operations, normal business operations, they work together. They're not an and or an either or. You're either doing one or doing the other. You can do both of them together. You can build resilience into your business by actually thinking differently as to how your business runs, right?
Absolutely. So resilience is about being able to think on your feet, think quickly, pivot your business where necessary, and just make those important decisions to get back up and running when you need to.
And bringing in the perspective from everyone as well.
This episode will continue after a brief message. Thanks for listening to BizBytes, the podcast focused on the impact of technology on business. If there's a topic you'd like to hear more about, someone you want to hear from, or you have something you want to talk about on an episode of the show, then let us know. Simply email anthony@bizbytes.co.nz or visit www.bizbytes.co.nz and complete the form. Now back to the show.
What's the big mistakes you see businesses of any size making when it comes to how they handle their approach to business continuity?
Yeah, so I think I touched on it a bit earlier, but the main things are just preparing a business continuity plan and then forgetting about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it needs to be an organic, living document that's regularly updated, and it's something you could refer to on a daily basis. So if you need a plumber, you should be looking at your business continuity plan, because then if you call him up and he says, oh, sorry, I don't work in that area, or I'm too busy, you find someone else and then you update your plan. And so it's constantly evolving. It's constantly kept up to date. And also, the more you use it, the more you're used to using it. So if you're kind of using it on a daily basis for these little events, when a big one does strike, you know exactly where to find it and exactly where all the information is.
Definitely. In terms of digitally available as well, cloud services are making this possible. You don't need to go down the path of building a really fancy app. You just need to have a document that lives within a known repository, whether it be SharePoint, OneDrive, Google Docs, whatever, that people know how to get to, right? It doesn't have to be all singing and all dancing.
Absolutely. So my company, BCP Builder, we work with small businesses, small and medium-sized businesses. So the idea is you can use the software to create your business continuity plan and then download a PDF version of it. So you update it through the software, but you can save the PDF wherever you want. If you're a small business, you might save it and attach it to an email that you're ready to click send straight away. You can also upload it if you have an emergency notification system, just upload the PDF into the lockbox there so people can receive that when they receive their emergency notification saying that business continuity plan is being activated.
Yeah, and it's important that others know where to find that, because the person who's responsible for enacting and managing business continuity may actually be the one who's the most impacted and therefore not able to do their job, right?
Exactly. And that's the importance of an incident response team. So your initial actions are usually to activate the business continuity plan, and there'll be at least two people who are able to do that. So if one person's not available to authorize it, you can go to their backup. And then you've got one of the first steps would be notify the incident response team. And it's just cascading down. And then the incident response team knows what they need to do next.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Feel free to not give any company details out there if you don't want to. But have you got any examples of companies that have managed well through the current crisis, or the most recent crisis is anyway, as a result of actually having a very good plan in place and they've followed which they've been following and they're aware of? Have you got any good examples of what, where people have gone well?
I haven't got any concrete examples from COVID-19, but I think you can see, you know, the companies that have done well were the ones that were prepared to work from home and prepared to work remotely and had practiced that. But a recent case study in Auckland that I found interesting, that I thought was handled very well, was the Sky City Convention Centre. I thought the communication there was very good. The CEO brought in a bit of humour. So, you know, they used building material that was completely appropriate, but it sounded strange. They had straw in the roof. And he came out and he said, look, I know it sounds a bit like the Three Little Pigs, but it was an eco-friendly option, and it was, you know, a suitable, well-chosen building material. It just so happened that there was this incident, and I thought he handled it really well.
Yep.
And he also, I work for St. John, and people that were kind of displaced from the convention centre were actually offered to St. John, and they came and did some voluntary work for us, you know, in their off time. So I thought they handled it really well. They kept their people working by doing free work for charities, and yeah, I thought that was a great business continuity and crisis plan.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right in there. The humour is a good way to diffuse some of the other things that might come about. You know, straw in a modern building doesn't sound like what we'd normally expect to hear about. But as you said, it's an eco-friendly option. 99% of the time, it's going to be fine unless it catches fire. And unfortunately, this was the time it caught fire. that redeployment piece as well is key. I've got a friend of mine who works for one of the hotels in Auckland, which has been used for part of the isolation for people that are still coming into the country. So they're being put into quarantine there. And what this hotel has done is put their staff to use. You know, they haven't needed to necessarily do marketing, and they haven't needed to do some of the more operational focused stuff. So people have been coming in, but what they have had to do is feed 300 rooms full of people at an individual basis. Those people can't congregate down in the kitchen, in the dining room and eat at a regular time. So they've had to feed them in their rooms. So they've used all their staff to actually start helping prep in the kitchen, start the delivery of the food, get everything going. One, so that people can still feel useful. Two, so that the business will continue to run and work in a way. And three, so that there's minimal impact for the customers. Although in this case, the customers are rather reluctant to be there. but you've still got to make it work for them, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's a great example of utilizing the resources that you've got in different ways to work for this new environment.
Mm. And coming back to that point we talked about earlier with marketing, may not feature, some marketing processes may not feature highly on the business impact analysis, but that doesn't mean the people aren't valuable. And those people can still be put to good use. It might be one of the other ones is critical.
Absolutely. And I know there's been a lot of criticism of some hotels of the way that they've handled the isolation. And a lot of it might just be media beat up, but you know, those marketing teams would be well placed to respond to those claims and, you know, try and put the kibosh on them as soon as possible, because otherwise, you know, they're getting a bad reputation.
Yeah, absolutely. Reputation management is key, as we're seeing with Air New Zealand at the moment. I'm not going to weigh in with an opinion on the credit versus refund situation, but certainly it's done a lot of brand damage for them, the way they've handled it.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of negative feelings out there at the moment that perhaps could have been handled better from a communications perspective.
Yeah. So I think within there, there's another lesson for businesses, is that you might be going through a crisis, but the world might still be watching you, and how you respond will have an impact on your reputation overall.
Yes, definitely. And especially if you're, you know, a big company with a lot of customers, the crisis is affecting them as well. And your response to it matters to them, especially if you've got their money and they want it back.
Or haven't provided the service they felt that they should have. I think there seems to be some mixed response there, but overall the criticism is the way it's been handled. So it's an interesting one. As we start to wrap up on this, are there any final thoughts that you think companies, business owners, business leaders should be considering when it comes to business continuity that you want to add in?
I think it's just important to think back about what happened, especially now that we're in level one. A lot of people will be back to business as usual, unless they're international tourism operators, unfortunately. But most companies will be back to normal. And it's about thinking about what went well, what didn't go well, what can we learn from the process, and hopefully documenting it. Having a BCP is a great way of getting your business back up and running after a disaster. But in terms of regulatory requirements, if you're applying for a tender, or sometimes if you're applying for a bank loan, people will be asking to see your business continuity plan. So taking the time to write it now while everything's fresh in your mind may be valuable in the future when someone asks to see it, and you can just give it to them rather than having to run around in a panic trying to prepare something when you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you're right. And definitely the tender piece. I know some of the bigger organisations, particularly the banks, and if you want to pitch for government work, one of the non-functional requirements they have on you as business is that you have a business continuity plan, and that your core suppliers are identified and have one as well. Because for them, they don't want to be caught out because a small company who should have otherwise been resilient failed to deliver on a certain component for whatever reason.
That's right. And depending on what it is, you know, that small component can disrupt the entire process.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth the ultimate client looking into their suppliers and making sure that they do have the business continuity plans in place so it doesn't impact their whole supply chain. Correct. A good example of that was the KFC incident in the UK. It was probably a couple of years ago now, but there they had a transport incident, which meant that they didn't have any chicken in many stores. And yeah, they actually did a great crisis communication poster. It said FCK on the bucket, and it's a chicken shop without chicken, not a great look, is what they said, something along those lines. So yeah, definitely worth looking at your supply chain, transport, looking at everything and making sure that that business continuity process is sound.
And I've seen some other things lately with the protests out of America with Black Lives Matter, where social media has been used to good effect by some brands, not to virtue signal, but to at least call out bad behavior from certain people. I saw a great one where two companies that would otherwise compete basically just said to a customer, look, if this is your attitude, neither of us want you as a customer, so good luck doing what you need to do. Which I thought was, again, it's a little bit of humor that was used in there to address a very serious situation that could have gone completely the other way if they hadn't thought about their reputation as part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think particularly with this current movement, you know, it's important to tread very carefully.
Yeah.
So, but some brands are doing it well, some probably not so much.
Correct. And there's lessons to be learned everywhere, but you're right. It's a dangerous right path to walk down as well, to try and respond to an event that you may not be part of, because it can create a different backlash if people see you to be capitalizing on something that's none of your business.
That's right. Yep. If you're just trying to wade in to promote your brand in some way or other, then that's not a good look either.
Yeah. And then that marketing crisis management comes back into play as well. So it all starts to build out. So thinking about how you respond to business or just other events can create business continuity scenarios for you as well.
Absolutely. Yes. A reputational crisis can definitely be a business continuity crisis, because if it's bad enough and you're losing customers, it could cost you your business ultimately.
Definitely. Reputational, I think, trying to remember the three main events that would constitute a major incident for us at, when I was at BNZ, it was reputational, revenue, or direct customer facing impact. So customer couldn't get to their, couldn't access their funds for whatever reason, direct impact, but then there's the reputational and the revenue hit as well that could go with that. So one question I kind of put to everyone, and it leads to some curious pathways and different things to focus on, but it's around what you're reading and what helps shape your thinking and thought process at the moment. So what are you reading at the moment, Laura, that's sort of helping guide the way you are talking around risk management and business continuity?
Yeah, so at the moment, unfortunately, been a bit busy, so I don't actually have any books on the go, but I do actually love to read. Some ones I read recently, I was getting really into my business autobiographies. So I've read Elon Musk's SpaceX journey and Richard Branson's journey, and I thought that those were both really interesting. So it was great to see what happened recently with SpaceX getting the first manned flight into space after reading all about it in the biography. So yeah, I really like those business biographies, and I've read lots of business continuity books as well.
Not that we'll ever see them, but there'd be some really fascinating case studies out of the likes of SpaceX with the initial rocket launches, which didn't quite go to plan, and how they responded. But those aren't the kind of things they tend to write about. They tend to write about the successes they're having.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In the biography, those were all out detailed and they talked all about it. So that was really good. And I also went and visited Rocket Lab here in Auckland recently and got a tour of their factory, just having a chat about business continuity from their perspective. And it was really interesting to see. And it's great to hear. I think that they're back up and running again now after they were denied as an essential service. But everyone thinks they're essential, but yeah, they'll be back up now.
I think I saw yesterday that they were due to launch and their launch was delayed. But a number of factors that will impact their operations, not just the pandemic, but just weather and other scenarios that they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis as well.
Yeah, absolutely. They have to have a lot of contingency plans in place.
Totally. Hey, look, Laura, it's been really good talking. And right now, the current climate has been a great opportunity to explore business continuity in a little bit more detail. And I think we're still going to see more and more of that. And I encourage everyone who's listening to at least go back to your business and think about, what does this mean for me? What's my business continuity plan? And have I actually reviewed it? Did it work for me? And what needs to change? I definitely encourage that. And if they want help with that, your business continuity builder, that's something you're able to support them through, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's bcpbuilder.com. There's free templates that can be downloaded and 2-minute video demonstration to give you an idea of, you know, what is a business continuity plan if you're starting from scratch.
Awesome. bcpbuilder.com. Encourage everyone who's listening to check that out and be in touch with Laura if you need more support. But Laura, look, thank you very much for your time today. Really enjoyed the conversation, and I hope things start to pick up for everyone in the next few weeks, and we start to get that normality, the new normality, back into our day-to-day business.
Absolutely. Great to be here. Thanks for the chat.
Thanks for listening to BizBytes, brought to you by The IT Psychiatrist. Check out our blog at www.theitpsychiatrist.co.nz/blog for bonus material and more information.